Psalm 145 and take a look at part two in the issue of Thanksgiving. We started last week to get a jump. You know, everything's getting a jump. What was the earliest you saw Christmas decorations or Christmas things on sale? Huh? Halloween. Can you believe that? So we're going to take a two-week run at Thanksgiving anyway. I think so, because we probably need it. We're going to look at a psalm that is a wonderful psalm. This is one of those literary gems in the Old Testament. It is a psalm that each verse begins in the original Hebrew with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. So it's called an acrostic. And you can just go, some of your Bibles may actually have the Hebrew word right there listed there for, so it goes Aleph, Bet, Gimel, Dalet, He, Vav, Zion, Chet, Tet, Yod, Kaf, Lamed, Mem, Nun, Samach, Ayin, Pe, Tzadi, Kof, Resh, Shin, Tav. That's the Hebrew alphabet. And what's marvelous about this it's a wondrous piece of work. It's like I say, it stands out as a literary gem. It also is an instructive piece. It is done so you can remember it. It would be fun to see your Psalm 145 if you took the letters of our alphabet and kind of looked at what's in the verse and then wrote an acrostic that way. I'm just throwing that out. I would love to see what you would come up with if you tried to do that as well. So we're going to take a look at this. And remember, the main idea is reasons we have to be thankful. So as we go through this psalm, look for that. What reasons do we have to be thankful based on what we see right here? So let's take a look at the first two verses. And in those first two verses, we're going to find something that you can talk about. Now, I've mentioned some friends of mine who I have coffee with, and we talk about many and very ranging subjects. And certain people at the coffee shop are kind of known by their pet themes. There's a person all concerned about fish, and so when he comes in, people duck their heads and they go, "Oh, the fish guy." There are people you can be two sentences into a conversation, you can feel it being steered toward some kind of conspiracy. Conspiracy theory, Dave is his name. And you think at times, oh, isn't there something better to talk about? Psalm 145 gives us some great things to talk about. Let's read together. I will exalt you, my God the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever. Now, could you just list with me, as you look up there, the action words? Let's list them out loud. What are the action words? Exalt, praise, extol, bless. These are very interesting words. Sometimes things don't come across to us in English. To exalt, and you can think about that. We did a little bit of that today. When the song talked about raising our hands, that's the picture of it. To exalt means to lift up on high, to hold up as the ultimate good. The word praise here means actually to kneel. by implication, to bless God as an act of adoration, to extol here your name. To extol is, let me see if this sounds familiar to you. Halal. What does that sound like? Hallelujah. It's the root form for hallelujah. And halal means to shine light on. So you're shining light on something. You're actually giving praise, shining light on God. And hallelujah is to shine light or give praise to Yahweh or God. In verses 1 and 2, what do you see are reasons for thanksgiving? What do you see up there? Ideas? Somebody's personal here. This is a personal relationship. Okay? The King. Okay. Diane, how are you grateful for that?
Well, he is above all others, and no matter who may rule, God rules over them.
Very interesting. That was a king who probably wrote this song. Huh? Isn't that cool? And he's calling him the king. Okay. Anything else? Every day.
Forever and ever.
So here's someone whose character is so immense, so wonderful, so amazing, that you could spend forever giving praise and pondering it. That's plenty reason for praise. The name, of course, represents the person in this verse. I will extol your name forever and ever. A person's name refers to their whole being, so this kind of praise evidences, I think, a maturity where he begins his adoring response, giving praise to God for who God is, not what God does for him. Can you see that? He begins in the relationship before he starts talking about what God has done or will do for him. And even when things are tough, that's a tough time to do that, isn't it? To give praise when things are tough. But it's a good it's a good thing. It lifts us out of our concern and self-absorption to something grand and great. Like the little poem went, trials make the promise sweet. Trials give new life to prayer. Trials bring me to his feet. Sometimes lay me low and keep me there. But there's no better place. So let's read the next verse together. The next verse is verse 3. Great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. What makes you thankful about what you see here? Greater than any circumstance. Most worthy of praise. Far beyond anything human science can understand. We can't comprehend it. It's an interesting word, his greatness no one can fathom. Do you know what a fathom is? Okay, what's a fathom? 6 feet. Wow. Nailed it. So here's a seafaring term no one can fathom. You could take a fathom, a length of measurement, and then to make it a kind of a verb form, to fathom the depth of the ocean. That was in our last psalm last week, with the same kind of image. To fathom the ocean, or to measure the ocean, means what for these seafarers? What would they do? They'd drop a line with something heavy on it in hopes that it would touch bottom, right? And then they would know the distance to the bottom of the ocean. So no one can fathom that. That is, you don't have enough rope. You just don't have enough rope to get all God's greatness explained. You'll be forever doing that. As David said elsewhere, many, O Lord, are the wonders that you have done. The things that you have planned for us, no one can recount to you. Were I to speak of them, there would be too many to declare. Well, the next thing I see in this psalm that is, what would you call it? Reasons for praise, is that we're a family devoted to God. Let's look at verses 4 and following. Would you read them together with me? One generation will commend your works to another. They will tell of your mighty acts. They will speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They will tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They will celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. Here, let's think again. Look at the words, the action words, again, that are found in these verses. To commend, to tell, to speak. It is an action word. It's meditate, which is internal, but then it goes right back to the things that become, it's the internal expressing itself outward. To tell, to proclaim, to celebrate, and to joyfully sing. These are interesting words as well. I would call them some of the actions of our Well, it's the actions of intergenerational worship. It says, one generation will commend your works to another. And I must say again how I appreciate the intergenerational worship here. This morning, coming into my ear, were little children around me, and it was almost first full voice, bless the Lord, oh my soul. That inspired me. It's wonderful to hear. And that it's appreciated, all kinds of music and words lifted upward are appreciated among the generations here today. We're a family devoted to God. So let's take a look at the first word, to commend. This is another interesting word, to commend. To commend means to address in a loud tone, to commend or to give glory to triumph in. It's animated praise for God said to another generation. So there were songs that we sing that are more subdued. There are songs that you kind of want to stand up on, songs that kind of pour out, you want more voice to commend in a loud tone. To tell, now this is an interesting, to tell actually means to stand boldly out opposite another. So one person standing here one person standing here, or a group of people standing here, and a group of people standing here. And this group, this generation in this case, speaks to this generation about the glories of God. And this generation in turn speaks back to the other generation to tell, to stand out boldly, to speak. This is another way we involve each other in intergenerational worship, that is, we speak to each other. And then to meditate. We do this in our quiet time, did it this morning. It's from a primitive root meaning to ponder, by implication, to converse with oneself. Do you do this? Of course you do this. The psalmist did it. He said, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you dispirited within me?" He's in conversation here with himself. He says that to himself, and then he kind of gets hold of himself, and he says, "Hope thou in God." So this is what it means to meditate, to ponder, to go over, to talk with yourself about the implications, the meaning of something, to muse about something, and even to pray. To tell is to say or to affirm as true, to talk plainly about something, urging others to consider something. If it's all the great, as the psalmist says it is great, then we have something to talk about of value, something real and good. To proclaim, this is another interesting one. It means to score as with a mark or to take a tally of something. So a lot of the Psalms, you can see they move through something. They take a tally of God's acts or deeds, and it kind of walks you through what God did. There are, and we'll see in the close of this psalm, how the psalmist does kind of a tick chart. He tallies up the characteristics of God. And so that's what it means to proclaim. That is, we're going to enumerate, or we're going to recount together God's character or goodness toward us. To celebrate, which literally means to gush forth. Figuratively, to belch out. But let's keep going. Something flowing out, something pouring out abundantly. There are times when you can tell the Holy Spirit ministers to all of our spirits encouragement. And if you're up front here, looking out here, you can see it happen. You can see a group of people where the Holy Spirit just moves into their hearts and inspires them. You can tell how they sing. You can tell by the volume they sing. The enjoyment and the engagement with that, it's all together. So that's part of what it means to celebrate. It's pouring out. And to joyfully sing, it's an old root from, it means to creak, or to emit a strident sound. That is, to shout, usually for joy. To cry out for joy. To rejoice. Now, every once in a while, you'll hear someone say, "Amen." And there are times I've been known to say, "Yeah." That's my amen. If you ever hear that, that's my amen. Yeah. That's kind of an example of that, although it's not a musical form of it. To joyfully sing. Okay. Now let's take a look back at that verse. What about verse 5 do you see here that's reason for thanksgiving? What stands out to you? What's that?
What God has done.
When you think about what God has done, does anything come to mind? He has delivered you. What God has done. Anybody else? He created the universe. Anybody else? What God has done. He has plans for us. Plans for our good. What else? What God has done. Plans for our future. He came down to our level. Absolutely. These Old Testament saints would often think back through what God had done as well. Oh, he delivered Israel from the Egyptians. That's amazing. He delivered us from our enemies. He brought us into a land flowing with milk and honey. These are all things that God should be praised for and given thanks. One generation will commend your works to another. Very interesting comment one person made about this psalm, especially up to this point. He says it's antiphonal, or antiphonal, that's the way you pronounce it. Antiphonal. Now, someone with a background in music, what is antiphonal? What's that? Coming from different directions. So we've already kind of had that, haven't we? This group faces this group and declares God's praise. It's coming from different directions. So, here, let's take a look at an example of that. What I'd like to do is just kind of divide our group right straight down through the middle here. Side one, side two, okay? Can you see up here? Your cues are up here. Right down through the middle, side one, side two. I'll start off the singing, and side two, you just jump in there. You'll know it when it happens, okay? Side one. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. We just did antiphonal worship. Okay? Let's move on to another example of that. This is related to age. Anybody under 20 starts. People in 21 to 39 group, next line. 40 to 60, next line. 60 and up in the last line. Okay, you know your group. I'm just going to help under 20 get started. I don't fit in this group, but I'm going to help them get started. He answers prayer.
He answers prayer.
He answers prayer. He's so good to me. Now we've done antiphonal worship in the generations. One generation giving praise to God in the next generation. Let's try something else. Let's sing it this way together and with hands raised. We love you so. We love you so. We love you so. He was so good to us. So now we have worshiped in the way some of those opening verses talked about, where we lifted up. We lifted God's praise up. One more time. Center here. is the first one. This is not going to be musical. You've heard it before, right? God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So the center will say, God is good. The sides will say, all the time. And then the sides will say, all the time. And then the center will say, God is good. And then I will say, God is good. And then all of us will say, all the time, all the time. And then the congregation will say that, and then I'll join you. That is, at the last, God is good. So, how about if we stand on this? Because that would fulfill one more kind of praise. Where we stand, remember, the first talked about standing and then kneeling. So here we stand. Center. God is good. God is good. God is good. Okay. Now, one more time. We've got the pattern. It was a little more involved. But this time, can you add a little volume to it? Okay? Just a little more volume to it. Okay? God is good.
All the time. All the time.
God is good. You may be seated. So we've done another one. You remember one of those actions of praise was to shout, to speak aloud. And so we have worshiped again. As generations, we have lifted up God's praise with our hands. One generation telling about God's mighty acts. They sing his praise to each other. It comes not only from the older generation to the younger, but from the younger to the older. Younger ones, you experience God in ways that are important for us to hear. You have something to say to us in worship. We need to hear from you at times. And your walk with God often challenges us. Older generations are needed by younger generations too. If you think about it, this psalm, written as it is, as a giant acrostic, was probably written by David for a younger generation. Because this is a learning tool. This is a way of educating young people. And so you could see David in this sense taking up a responsibility as an older generation for the younger generation to educate them about the goodness of God. But it goes both ways. One generation telling others the mighty works of God. David says this elsewhere in the Psalms. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous works. There is, need not be, intergeneration gap when it comes to praising God. Worship isn't for the older people, for the older adults alone. How we choose to express our worship at times may differ, but worship is in every generation a privilege of knowing God, of getting to know God, and giving God God's due. Why do we need it? Because with it, we have a history of God's dealing with us and with humanity upon which to build our trust. Memories that cite the wonderful ways that God has dealt with each one of us. As you go to Thanksgiving tables this week, there are things that probably as you look back in your history, you can tally, if you will, tally about how God has been faithful to you, how God has been there for you. There may be something that you could share with others, but the memory or helping others remember this is most important. Memory, as one has said, is the scribe of the soul. And our memories are to be used like this in intergenerational worship. Praise is refreshing. It points us the way to God. I want to turn that into another image. It points us the way to water. When you're thirsty or hungry, when you are in need, when you are discouraged, you need people to point you the way to water. I can remember one time hiking up in the Colorado Mountains. Janet and I were tired, and boy, was it hot. We came up on this little cold spring that just bubbled up from the surface, right around rocks. And we both leaned down there and took a great big drink. Now, this drink was amazing. When your lips touched the spring, it almost startled you, made your lips tingle because it was that cold. But then when you take a great big gulp, and you could feel the refreshment going all the way down your neck into your tummy. This too is an important thing that we can do for each other. We can affirm God's presence and steadfastness in our lives to others. And in those moments of doubt and discouragement, encourage trust and hope. I'd like to ask our worship team if they'd like to come along, and we'll close.